Start the recording. Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sureshwasham Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter, 30 sloka. Before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Induleka Karuna Mataji to give a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, please take over.
Hare Krishna Nandapriya Narmada Mataji, Hare Krishna all devotees. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is a short introduction on His Grace Sureshwasham Prabhuji. His Grace Sureshwasham Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. He conducts Bhakti Vriksha in Charlotte and does book distribution. He started many reading programs and Bhagavad Gita classes in Charlotte. His Grace Sureshwasham Prabhu is a board member of ISKCON Charlotte and in charge of all finances. He manages book purchase and book distribution in Charlotte. He is very enthusiastic and a humble worker, always taking the lead in organizing bhakti events in Charlotte. It is impossible to have bhakti events in Charlotte without initial preparation and plan by His Grace Sureshwasham Prabhuji. He visits Deland, Florida ashram regularly and is working hard to fulfill the vision of His Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji is a regular attendee of the Bhakti Sangha conference call, especially of our morning Bhagavatam classes. He listens very, very attentively, makes notes, and also asks wonderful questions at the end to each and every speaker. He has also been our last minute speaker, the impromptu speaker for our Srimad Bhagavatam classes on many occasions. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving us your very valuable association. Please take over, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Sure, Mataji. Thank you very much, Mataji. Thanks for Shamagori Mataji, this opportunity. And we have been hearing this 14th chapter for quite some time, which is the forest of material enjoyment. So today we'll be discussing from Canto 5, Chapter 14, Verse 30. So I'll share my screen. So here, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll read verse 30. And we'll discuss some points from Prabhupada's purports and from Prabhupada's previous notes that he made regarding, you know, about Maithuni Bhava. Prabhupada expands on this Maithuni Bhava in the purport also. So we'll start. It's a long translation and purport. So we'll start here. Yada Pakandibhir Atma Vanchintais Tair Uru Vanchinto Brahma Kulam Samavasham Stesham Shilam Upanaya Nadi Shrauta Smarta Karmanushta Nina Bhagavato Ignya Purusharadhanam Eva Tad Arochyam Shudra Kulam Bhajate Nigamachare Ashudito Yasya Mituni Bhavaha Kutumba Bharam Yata Vanara Jate. So synonyms, what word meanings? Yada, when Pakhandibhi by Pashandis, godless atheists, Atma Vanchithai, who themselves are cheated. Thair, by them. Guru, more and more. Vanchintaha, being cheated. Brahma Kulam, the bona fide Brahmanas strictly following the Vedic culture. Samavasan, settling among them to advance spiritually, tesham, of them, the Brahmanas who strictly follow Vedic principles, Shilam, the good character, Upanayana Adi, beginning with offering the sacred thread of training the conditioned soul to qualify as bona fide Brahmana, Shrautha, according to the Vedic principles, Smartha, according to the authorized scriptures derived from the Vedas, Karma Anushtanena, the performance of activities, Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ejna Purushasya, who is worshipped by Vedic rituals, ritualistic ceremonies, Aradhanam, the process of worshipping him, Eva, certainly, Tat Arochayan, finding pleasure, Tat Arochayan, not finding pleasure in it due to its being difficult for unscrupulous persons to perform. Shudra Kulam, the society of Shudras, Bhajate, he turns to Nigama Achare, in behaving according to Vedic principles, Ashudhitaha, not purified, Yasya, of whom, Mituni Bhavaha, sense enjoyment or materialistic way of life, Kutumbha Bharanam, the maintenance of the family, Yatha, as it is said, Vanarajatehe, the society of monkeys or the descendants of monkeys. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The pseudo-swamis, yogis and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement. And whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles. Brahmanas are those in Krishna consciousness who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of God, Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, the rascals again fall down and take shelter among Shudras who are very expert in making arrangement for sex indulgence. Sex is a very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of monkeys. Purport. By following the process of evolution from aquatics to animal platform, a living entity eventually reaches the human form. The three modes of material nature are always working in the evolutionary process. Those who come to the human form through the quality of Sattva Guna were cows in their last animal incarnation. Those who come to the human form through the quality of Rajoguna were lions in their animal incarnation. And those who come to the human form through the quality of Tamoguna were monkeys in their last animal incarnation. In this age, those who come through the monkey species are considered by modern anthropologists like Darwin to be descendants of monkeys. We receive information herein that those who are simply interested in sex are actually no better than monkeys. Monkeys are very expert in sexual enjoyment, and sometimes sex glands are taken from monkeys and placed in the human body so that a human being can enjoy sex in old age. In this way, civilization has advanced. Many monkeys in India are caught and sent to Europe so that their sex glands could serve as replacements for those of old people. Those who actually descend from the monkeys are interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are also certain ceremonies especially meant for sexual improvement and promotion to higher planetary systems where the demigods are enjoying sex. The demigods are also very much inclined towards sex because that is a basic principle of material enjoyment. First of all, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis, and incarnations when he approached them to to be relieved of material miseries. When the conditioned soul is not satisfied with them, he comes to devotees and pure brahmanas who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Thus, he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. In the Krishna conscious movement, these monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulative principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. This is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. In this verse, it is therefore clearly stated, Yata Vanara Jatahe. Magnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ulmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha, Kripa Sindhubya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we are in this 14th chapter, almost coming to the end. Like there are, I think, 40 plus verses in this 14th chapter. And I'll just share from Gauranga Darshan Prabhuji's book, the Bhagavad Subodhini, right? The two chapters are clubbed together. So before we go to the discussion on the verse, so we'll just see where we are. Where we are in this verse 30 and how it is connected from previous verses. So here 13 and 14 chapter are linked. So Prabhuji grouped it together in the book. So his further talks between King Rahuguna and Jadabharat, 13th chapter. Even Jadabharat had some questions Rahuguna Maharaj had some questions based on what Jadabharat has said. So that further discussion happens. And in 13th chapter, so in 12th chapter, it is mentioned of crossing over the material existence. So that's where it leads to a connection for 13th and 14th chapter. Right now in 13th chapter, right, it is described about a merchant entering the forest. That's an allegorical description of a merchant entering the forest. And a few days back, we have seen Kamal Lochan Prabhu explaining how Bhagavatam, or in Bhagavad Gita also, we see sometimes few concepts are described in an allegorical form, right? We see in 15th chapter when the Lord described 13th and 14th. 14th, he describes the three modes of material nature. And how to come out, based on Arjuna's question, how to come out of three modes of material nature, right? Bhakti, he has said clearly, Bhakti Yoga is the way to come out of material nature, and it comes to the platform of Brahman. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. So we come to the platform of Brahman, That means we are in pure goodness. So we can serve the Lord. Prabhupada gives one nice example about a servant serving the king, right? Even the servant, he has to have some qualifications. That's what, you know, coming out of material nature means. We get some qualifications to serve the king. And then what happens, Prabhupada writes in the next purport, that even the servant is enjoying the opulences of a king, right? You see, we are not deprived of anything. You know, when we qualify ourselves to serve the Lord, we enjoy, Prabhupada, there's a word that comes in fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I forgot. We experience unlimited bliss. So this material bliss has a beginning and an end. Before that verse, this comes, right? So here, this merchant entering the material forest is described. And this allegory is demystified in 14th chapter. So that's what we see. For this 13th chapter had like very less verses, like 16, I think. Yeah, it had 16 verses or so, or 19, yeah, 19 verses. And in this chapter, to explain the allegory, we have around 40 verses. So we may think a merchant entering a forest to acquire goods in order to sell them later for profit, but he cannot find happiness, right? A merchant is entering forest. What does it mean, right? Like it means like we, the conditioned souls, entering this material world and doing various activities. One of them is, you know, living in this family life, right? We can choose even in family life how we want to be. What is our goal, right? What is our goal that, you know, clarifies, right? So here, this merchant, Prabhupada writes in the purport of this chapter, it's interesting. Prabhupada connects it to the latest trend, right? How can I relate to the forest? Right? There's no way I can relate to the forest. Even, right, so Prabhupada is saying here, so I'm just in the first in the same chapter, chapter 14, I'm on the first verse purport, right? So we see how the acharyas are making these difficult allegories, which are used to explain the concept, like Ashwatha tree is used in the 15th chapter to see how we are entangled. Right, we don't know where the tree begins, where the tree ends, where the foundation of the tree is. But, you know, with knowledge of detachment, we can cut down the roots of those trees, right? So like that, the Lord even himself uses this allegory in the 15th chapter. You know, initially it becomes very difficult. Once you keep reading, from the senior devotees, and, you know, we also might have seen the Ashwatha tree, how complexities, and this allegory is defined in such a way that the tree is upside down. So how can be a tree be upside down, right? So when we read the purports, we understand the tree that is being talked is a reflection on a water body, right? That's when we see the tree being upside down. And, you know, Prabhupada clearly writes in the purports that it is because that reflecting surface is material desires. So that's when the material world, the spiritual world is reflected upside down here. And it's called material nature, where we are entangled. And how to come out of that entanglement? After describing the modes of material nature, an allegory is used to make sure we understand, and then we come out of that entanglement. So here Prabhupada is writing that, since the material world is compared here into a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in cities. So when Jadabharat is explaining to Rahuguna, Rahuguna Maharaj understood it. Even, you know, we see Parikshit Maharaj also understood it. But he says, right, that is the glorious of all these acharyas like Parikshit Maharaj. He says intelligent people will understand, but unintelligent people, you know, like yes, maybe me and many people in future generations that are coming, right, where this common sense is becoming very uncommon. So here we see Prabhupada, Jadabharat and Rahaguna, very high level, Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami brought it very down for us to understand, and Prabhupada is bringing it further down so that we can connect and trace back and then understand the real discussion. So that's how, you know, these acharyas help us. So here he's saying, you know, Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in cities. A great city, however, is like a great forest. Actually, city life is more dangerous than life in forest. If one enters an unknown city without a friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in a forest. So we see, you know, for us to commute to work also now, after this corona pandemic, right? It takes like 60 to 90 minutes, right? You know, that's also a great difficulty. So here we see how Prabhupada is bringing it to the correct context, you know, the latest context that we can understand. You know, see here he's saying one has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed, you know. So it's becoming more and more relevant for us to understand. So this chapter and few chapters, right, we can, so that's the opportunity I got. So when Mataji asked, can you speak? I said, okay, let me read, you know, this chapter. Let me think through the different lectures that I heard in the Bhakti Sangha here itself, right, that's going on for last now a month on this chapter. So that's what we see here. So this allegory is being elaborated, right? Explanation of the allegory was given by Sukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And we see in the Prabhupada's purports, it is making more and more applicable for us so that we can connect and disconnect with what is not needed, Maya or sense gratification. So next, when we move on in this chapter, I just took pictures, you know, I've not taken good pictures, but from the book, I've taken the pictures and put it here. So next we see the six plunderers. So six plunderers are, two things are being defined. So one is our six senses, five senses, including the mind, that's six. And then the family, right, who are like jackals. So in six plunderers, is translated to, you know, the six senses, jackals, the plunderers, right? Which are, you know, where the merchant is always in fear and he is being attacked by many, many aspects. Like here we are seeing, you know, his own senses. So nobody is being blamed here, right? It's our own senses that we have seen the evolutionary process that Prabhupada defined in the purport. You know, sometimes if you are coming from previous life monkey, then, you know, good luck, right? So we'll have so much uncontrolled senses. So Prabhupada writes in, what is this controlling of senses mean, right? So it's the mean, like, let me read that from the 10th canto. Prabhupada writes a very nice statement on what is sense control means, right? What is sense control means, right? Control of the senses means that senses should not be used for unnecessary pleasure, personal enjoyment. See, very nice, concise, crisp, terse statement. Control of senses means that should not be used for unnecessary personal enjoyment. So this is where our energy is drained, unnecessary personal enjoyment. There is no need, there is no prohibition against meeting the proper needs of the senses. See, we don't need to starve, and we are not starving, right? We are every time eating nice Krishna prasadam, and people may eat perturbed food, right, which is stored, processed so much, but we try to eat as much fresh as possible. So there is no prohibition against meeting the proper needs of the senses. See, but unnecessary sense enjoyment is detrimental for spiritual advancement. See, just these two and a half lines gives us, you know, what is the definition of sense control. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, from outside world they may mean that sense control means, you know, not doing anything for our senses. means we can not doing anything unnecessary for our personal enjoyment, but proper, it can nothing prohibited for proper sense needs. So that's what we progress in this chapter. And now we will go quickly here. So many aspects for these person entering the forest, he is being bewildered by. He is bewildered by these dense bowries, which is nothing but thick bushes, which is now translated to Grihastha Ashram, right? Where person wants, you know, very overly sense enjoyment, not, you know, regulated sense enjoyment. So that's what happens. So he's being bitten by, you know, mosquitoes, that is, he's being troubled by low class men, right? And then his mind is doing, you know, this imaginary palace like Gandharvapura. He's thinking, you know, I will build a big palace, do that, do this for sense enjoyment. And when we move on, right, so the merchant is now who has entered the forest, and similarly, a person entering the material world, right, is being bombarded by his own senses, right? That is his problem. What he has cultivated in his previous lives, that are his vasanas, his swabhavas. And now there are external factors also that is being disturbed by. So all these are compiled in a tabular form by Prabhuji. I'm just reading through so that now he's attracted. We have seen, you know, in the last few weeks also, we have reviewed all this. So sometimes he's bewildered seeing a glowing ghost, which looks like a meteor. So, you know, he wants, so glowing ghost could be he, like in the purport, we see that he wants to get rid of his cold. So he's going towards some light, which is like a ghost, glowing ghost. And now here it's compared in the material world to gold, which gives us that that pride. And pride leads to illusion. When we have illusion, we are seeing everything upside down, right? So that's what's happening. So we can move on here. And now we have discussed like few weeks back about the whirlwind, how when the wind comes, you know, a lot of sand particles come up, or in the fall, we see a lot of, you know, leaves, right, are being blown. And the object, they, you know, we can't see clearly, right? They object our vision, right? So what is compared here is the beauty of opposite sex, Maituni Bhava. That's what we have seen in this verse today, right? So the enjoyment in material life taken as the highest enjoyment, which is sexual enjoyment, right? That's what we are seeing here. And we have heard that why this is being discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that could be one of our question, why this all is discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we can protect ourselves, so that we know that this is bad. And by the grace, by being dependent on the Guru and Acharyas and the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can circumvent that bad aspects that are there in the material world, right? Material world is, you know, we have seen when Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he described the material world. We have seen in two verses, in eighth chapter, we have seen, I think eighth chapter, 13th verse. I'll just read from the book here I have. So eighth chapter, 13th verse, it is described, not 13th. I have made a note, let me go there. So material world in two times in Bhagavad Gita has been described. So, so 8th chapter, 15th verse, right, where we see Mam Upetya Punarjanma Dukkalayam Ashashvitam Napnu Vanti Mahatmanaha Samsiddhim Paramam Gataha. So after attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries. So this is what we have seen here, temporary and full of miseries. And then we have seen in 9th chapter, 13th verse also, you know, the qualities of the material world are described. But we don't need to be scared of these descriptions. Only thing is, you know, we have the Krishna consciousness has the problem statement and solution and what we need to do. So in 9:33, it's saying here also. So it's saying, Kim punar brahmanaha punya bhakta rajayasya tata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasva mam. Right? How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. Right? So he's saying anityam asukam. It is anityam and it is asukam. So this is what we have seen, the qualities of the material world. And here this allegory of is showing us how we are entangled. And we see end of this chapter, how we can come out of this entanglement. Now we're seeing this old wind is nothing but our sensual desires. And now when we move on, we see this to acquire water, he runs after a mirage because he's in the forest. Now he's running after, you know, material sense enjoyment again and again. That's what we see. And he see here we see he's being bothered by owls and these invisible crickets. Right, we see that being translated as envious people who do backbiting. Right, they are not invisible; they are doing backbiting. They talk, and now these we see enemies and government servants because of that person being sense enjoyment. If he has crossed the limits, right now government people will punish him, and later we see that government servants are like the yakshas who are here. We see here yet. The government, the yakshas who are plundering the wealth of this the person who has entered the forest is compared to government officials who levy heavy taxes on these hardworking people. He is working hard so that he can maintain his family. He can maintain for him right now his sense gratification. So he is working very hard. And one more thing, to protect himself, to mitigate his distress, right? So like we see jumping into a shallow river, right? When you jump into shallow river, what happens? We break our head, we break our legs, nothing productive happens. So that is compared to, so the person, the conditioned soul going to atheists or pseudo gurus. So this is, very similar what we are seeing today also. Pashandis, Prabhupada calls them, they are ours too. They have this gross aspect very highlighted. They are very averse to the pure bhakti. That's why they are called Pashandis, or they are averse to recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So like that, when we move on here, so we come to the point of these two things, like the merchant is being swallowed by a python and loses his consciousness, which is compared to, sleep. That's what we see in three modes of material nature. When one is in ignorance, right, indolence, he is lazy and he is sleepy. And his lifestyle is such a way that, sleep only revives his body because he's eating so many abominable things and drinking so many things, right? Sleep will recover his body, but he needs too much sleep. That is like a python swallowing that person. And now when we move on, here he gets little bit of happiness here and there. But that happiness he has a beginning and end. That's what we see in fifth chapter, I think 22nd verse. So he's getting that honey, but what's happening is the honey is being stolen by somebody else. He's being cheated. So that's what he's going through. He's being cheated because he got some honey or some money. And now he's being troubled by heat, cold, wind, and threefold miseries. That we have seen the other day by, I think, Sanatan Dharma Prabhu. He has explained the verse so nicely that, the living entity is trying to mitigate. He's trying to mitigate the calamities. And it is not happening. It is not happening, the three calamities. Caused by devi gods, caused by other living entities. That's what we are seeing here, caused by his own body and mind. That's what we have seen, the six plunderers in the beginning. So when we move on here, right, today we are here. So today we are at 30. So yesterday we have seen that yesterday Prabhuji has explained the time factor. The time factor is nothing but in 14th chapter we see being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons and vultures. So who are these? Making friends, it doesn't make explicit sense, right, for us, right? Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons and vultures. So it's not very clear. So now we see here, when we see the explanation in the 14th chapter, the lion is compared to the time factor. The Lord's weapon, the Harichakra or wheel of time, expands from atomic time up to the lifetime of Brahma, exhausting the lives of all, fearing the approach of death. So time destroys everything, but not devotees. It is described in first canto, how the devotees are not influenced by sunrise and sunset, because what they are doing, the process they follow, and once we do the devotional service on the Brahma Bhuta platform, same service we will be doing later also. So we have our connection between this life and next life. What is that? Serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these cranes, herons and vultures are compared to these imposters or man-made gods who cannot save him. And this next verse that we are reading today is, extension or connection to this aspect of these pseudo-swamis. So these swamis, they can't even save themselves. Forget, how can they save others? If you don't have something, how can you give something, right? So that's what we are seeing here. So the travel of this merchant in the forest is being encountered by many, many natural aspects, his own senses, and he's being influenced by many things, and he's trying to protect himself and move on, but still are get help from certain things, like which are compared to cranes, herons and vultures. So if you see here, there is a progression in this 30, right? This is 17th verse in 13th chapter. Being cheated by cranes, he comes to the association of swans, but out of misfortune he cannot follow them and give up their company but out of misfortune, he cannot follow them and gives up their company for the company of monkeys. So without this this translation and Prabhupada purport, it's very difficult for us to decipher this, right? What are these cranes, herons and vultures? These are all, highly carnivorous birds. This vulture can see from few miles on the top. The crane is always hankering for fish in the pond, like that. They are these pseudo swamis or yogis we see they try to cheat people in many, many creative ways. They are using these modes of material nature, because the Lord says we are superior nature. The material modes of nature are inferior to us, and it is also a shakti of the Supreme Lord. But we are superior. So that's why we are able to lord it over and we are able to transform, right? But we can lord it over to serve the Supreme Lord. They are lording it over to serve their own senses. So that's what is happening here. Now, for whatever reason, he moved from cranes to swans. Swans are in mode of goodness. And now that's what we see in this verse today, right? So before we go to that verse quickly, we have time. So we'll go to, so just a pictorial view, right? Instead of, I took this from the lectures that Prabhuji gave in a series on entire Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a 70 lecture playlist that is there on YouTube. So here, if you quickly go in 5 minutes, right? So Jadabharat allegory to Rahuguna. And then Sukadeva Goswami explanation of the allegory to Parikshit Maharaj. So that's what we have seen in the detailed table of that explanation. And now here, a merchant entering so that he can procure some articles and sell. And that is nothing but the conditioned soul entering the samsara, you know, with his conditioned senses. And now, because of his conditioning, now what happens? So these sensors are also material. Outside modes of material nature are also material. So they work in an automatic fashion. It is beyond our control also, right? So, but if we can see the Lord says in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that if we can see what is happening between the senses and the sense objects, what are creation of the modes of material nature, right? If we can see that, then we can come out. And how we can come out is through the process that is given in 15th chapter, end of 14th chapter also, right? So now here he's being plundered by his uncontrolled senses and his family members also, right? So that's what we are seeing here. They are compared to jackals, you know, not. So this chapter, right, there are like 20, 30 aspects how this conditioned soul or the merchant who is entering the forest are being troubled, right? So we may not experience all of them, but we may experience one or two, three of them, right? So then it is covering for everybody, right? It is covering to many people to make sure to identify their condition, right? So you see this 30-year list, what is there in this chapter, everyone in the world will be able to identify. And then if they come to the end, there is a solution how to come out of this entanglement, right? So here we see like that. So he's thinking imaginary, this Gandharva Pura, and he's being beaten by mosquitoes, these envious people, like that, right? He's haunted by his material desires, like we saw. He's running behind gold. So like that, we see in this chapter, he's being blinded by the dust of the whirlwind, right? That's what we have seen, you know, illicit desires for possessions, illicit sex. But we should make sure that all our activities are tracked. I found an interesting statement in Chaitanya, this Bhagavat Pravaha, when we were reading the other day. We found an interesting statement that it is saying, if you see here, right, the activities of the jivas are witnessed by the sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the super soul himself. The candidates for punishment are those who are confirmed by these witnesses to have performed adharma or sinful activities. In proportion to one's adharma and dharma, one must suffer or enjoy the corresponding reactions. No mistake is left unnoticed. This is very powerful. No mistake is unnoticed. One may escape from the eyes of ordinary people and punishment by human laws, but not from the eyes of cosmic witnesses and judgment. So many things we may think that nobody is observing, but so many things are making note of what the conditioned soul is doing. Based on that, he's getting the result, what he needs to get. And that's why people consult these luminaries, stars, moons, suns, because they know our conditioning, our past activities. That's where they can give us the direction. That's astrology, right? So that's how, because they are taking notes of what we are doing and they can recommend some solution. But you know, when we come to bhakti, all that is not required. That's what we have seen detailed in one of the presentation by Balram Shakti Prabhu. So we'll move on here. So everything is being taken note of. So I'll quickly go. And this, so when he needs money, he doesn't have money. He wants to take shelter of these impious people, right? The impious trees, nothing but these wealthy people who don't have good qualities. Impious trees here means they don't give any fruits or flowers. So like that, we see here, the mirage of running over, running behind the sense gratification. So I'll quickly go, and we saw this is the 13th verse of this chapter. When he jumps in a shallow river, he's trying to take the shelter of the gurus. He's trying to relieve his conditioning, right? So I'll quickly go to the verse that we are interested today. So here it comes. So here, lions, that's what we have seen, is compared to the time factor. And now he wants to protect himself. And where has he landed? He has landed with these cranes and vultures, which are nothing but bogus gurus. And now he is making some progress from cranes to swans to monkeys. See, nicely given, from cranes to swans to monkeys. So from cranes to swans to monkeys, that is nothing but pseudo swamis to brahmanas and shudras. He could have stick to the path here, but he's too much engrossed, and he's unable to follow the principles of freedom. The principles of freedom, Prabhupada says in second chapter, these principles that we are following are called principles of freedom because it takes us away out from our conditioning. So that's what we are seeing in this chapter. And tomorrow what we will see is almost connected to this verse. So if we go back to the verse now, right, and the purport. So let's discuss a little bit on this, right? So here we see that person is stressed out and he wants to take protection of people who are called themselves as sadhus, who are called because he doesn't have a clear vision. He's also entangled and he's looking for people of that nature and is finding yada pakanti bhir atma vinchitais tair uru vinchito. So uru means again and again, or more and more. So here we see this word vinchito is, they are being cheated. So these Pashandis, they themselves are cheated because, they are going away and away from the Supreme Lord. So here Atma, right? Their Atma, they are unable to, this Atma is Satchitananda, right? So they are unable to follow the process. They have created their own process of sense gratificatory process and taking away themselves. They're cheating themselves. That's what Prabhupada says, who themselves are cheated. And they're cheating these people who are coming for protection, from relief from these material miseries that are being seen, right? And now he's going to this Brahma Kulam Samavasham Tesham Shilam, right? Now we are going to this Brahmanas. So we have seen by Narayani Lakshmi Mataji the other day, a Brahmana is a general word. So she was described that day. And then we see, starts with Dvijabandhu, right? That's what we are seeing. Upanayanadi, beginning with offering sacred thread or training to the conditioned soul. See, training to the conditioned soul to qualify as a bona fide Brahmana. So that's the starting process. So Upanayanadi. So he's going to these Brahmanas, and Brahmana's qualification is described in this verse. So they are Upanayan Adi, right? And they are following the Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is a Vedic principles, and Smritis are the authorized Vedic scriptures, right? Or we can call, these commentaries by Acharyas, or like Bhagavad Puran, like the four Vedas we can call Shruti, and Bhagavad Puranam as a Smriti, right? So like that. And now when they go to them, they are recommending proper process. So they are recommending what proper process. What is that? Upana, this one, yes. What? Karmanusthana nena bhagavato yajna purushasya aradhanam. Right? So they're recommending the proper ritualistic process of bhagavato yajna purusha. Purusha, the two purushas. We also try to be Purusha, but the Supreme Lord is Purusha Uttama. So he is the Supreme. So here Purusha is translated as the Supreme Personality, right? What is this? Purushasya, who is worshipped by Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, right? So Purusha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped, Aradhanam, right? Who is worshipped. So they are giving them, they are giving that person who has come the proper guidance, but he is too much confused state. Right? He is unable to follow and is going again looking for, in that picture we have seen, right? That picture is talking, is communicating a lot of things here, from cranes to swans, right? Now we see that person, he has, he came from crane, the pseudo gurus to swans, you know, these brahmanas. We have seen the qualification of brahmanas. So from Dvijabandhu, they become vipra, you know. So who are well versed in the scriptures. From that, you know, once we have the realization, the conclusive understanding of the scriptures, then he is called a Vaishnava. So we see the three parts: Dvijabandhu, Vipra, and Brahmana. That's what Mataji has clearly explained in her lecture. And you know, sometimes we might see the Brahmana word may be used. So we have to see the context of that verse being used. So now he came here, and now what's happening to him? He's taking tad arochayan shudra kulam bhajate. So this word bhajate is can be used in multiple ways. So when we click here, this bhajate word is bhajate means, you know, worship. Here I just click on it. So we see bhajate means, see, rendering transcendental loving service. But in this context, is the bhajate means, we can say, attraction or service. So now he wants to go behind these shudras who are attached to sense gratification. That sense gratification is nothing but like the monkey sense gratification. So here we are seeing that, right? So here we see this word, he turns to, right? This is what here he does. He does accept as his own. So here, this bhajate has two meanings, right? Worship and, or if we use it in a negative sense, worship the shudra mentality. That's what we are seeing in this verse, right? So now he's now moving back to where he came from, and now he's here. The Sukadeva Goswami is explaining. Nigamachare ashuddutho yasya mituni bhavaha kutumba bharam yatha vanara jatehe. So, you know, he's now, his mentality, he's fixed on sense enjoyment and, you know, making expert arrangement for that sense enjoyment. Now, if we see the translation, we'll be able to understand. The pseudo swamis, yogis, and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as paschantis. So anybody who on the surface try to be, you know, a glorious person, but is called a paschanti if he does not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simple definition, right? They themselves are fallen and cheated, because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement. And whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in turn. So this is clear. They are cheating themselves and they cheat who come to them. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of real followers of Vedic principles, the Brahmanas. That's what we have seen. Or Brahmanas are those in Krishna consciousness who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what we have seen, the yoga. That's what we have seen here. Bhagavato yajna purushasya aradhanam. Right? They give the right direction. But what happens? However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals fall down again and take shelter among shudras who are very expert in making arrangement for sexual indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys. And such people who are enlivened by sex may become descendants of monkeys. So that's what Prabhupada explaining in the purport, like we see here, Vanara Jatehe, right? So we have seen Vanaras in Ramayana helping Lord Ram, right? These Vanaras are getting entangled in, so we see clearly distinction. The Vanaras who are serving the Lord and the Vanaras who are conditioned. And now it is compared with monkeys. This rascal is compared with monkeys now to indicate that he is also jumping from branch to branch and for enjoyment and ultimately the sex enjoyment. That's what he's being written here. And in the Prabhupada's purport, right? So it's very clear. Few things are very clear, right? From aquatics, we grow to animal platform. From aquatics, we move upwards to animal platform. So we may see somewhere some description why and all that. But and from animal platform, we see in the purport, Prabhupada is saying three aspects happen. That is not through this evolutionary process of modes of material nature. From an animal platform, like if we were cow, so we become those who come from to the human form through the quality of sattva guna were cows in the last life, right? We see people who are in this, so we see many varieties of people, but we can categorize into these three: sattva, rajo and tamo guna, right? Now how they are getting that, right? And why they have to get a human form of life, right? From the animal form, why they have to get a human form in tamoguna? So that is, they have their leftover karma or those enjoying propensities which they can't enjoy in the animal life. That's why they are being evolved to human form of life, where our mana and buddhi is higher, intelligence is higher, right? Much higher than the animal propensities. That is the distinction, we can say, right? They are bound, they are tightly bound, right? We are bound, but we can unbind with the help of the person who is unbound, like the acharyas or the supreme personality of Godhead. That's what Prabhupada writes in one of the purport. How can we unbind ourselves from these chains? By accepting a guru or surrendering to the supreme Lord. And Supreme Lord, we know he is above the modes of material nature. He can easily unbind us. So like that, we are seeing going from aquatics to animal platform, and from animal platform, depending on our consciousness, we are getting human form, looks up like a person, but their mentality, their attitude, their swabhavas, their attraction to different modes of material nature are completely different. And people who are in this tamoguna, are monkeys in their last incarnation. And their inclination as this monkey is still there. That's why, you know, we see, like Prabhupada is writing, how sexual thing, you know, even in old age, because, you know, how can one cure in the old age when he wants to enjoy the entire life? So because he has grown old and he doesn't have the capabilities, he's artificially getting those capabilities. And the sexual thing is so prominent that the demigods are also very much inclined towards sex, because this is the basic principle of enjoyment. Even the demigods are in this 14 planetary system. We see how Lord Brahma, I will just read that from Subodhini, how Lord Brahma here, I will just read it here. See, I'll just read, but we are mentioning Lord Brahma's name, but we have to see it conclusively also. What is the end result that had happened with Brahma, so that we can learn from these great personalities. Like we are seeing about demigods, we see about the sage Shaubari Muni. It comes in 9th canto. There's a chapter called The Downfall of Shaubari Muni. Shaubari Muni wants to meditate and he went deep down in the river Yamuna, right? There's nothing for him to disturb. There's no billboards, no people who are half dressed, nothing like that, right? He went into the deep, the river Yamuna, and he saw two fish mating. Because now he's nobody problem, right? He's his problem, his sense gratification problem, and his curse also by Garuda. And now he comes back and marries with his yogic siddhis. He transforms into a beautiful person and he marries the 50 daughters of Mandata. And now he gets 100 sons from those 50 daughters. So one became 50, 50 became 5,000. And then he realizes what's happening, where I am entangled. So he himself says that I have fallen down. So that's why Prabhupada named it the chapter as the downfall of Shaubari Muni. And we see, you know, how he realizes and goes back to his process of self-realization. So that's what we see, you know, these great souls. When they fall down, they give us the lesson. So they, when we read this, we'll understand. Brahma also created dharma and adharma and the factors instigating adharma, lust, desire, anger, greed, etc. During all these creative affairs, Brahma once got attracted to his daughter, Vak. Though she wasn't welcoming of his advances, seeing Brahma deluded in this way, his sons, headed by Marichi, respectfully tried to dissuade him. As their efforts failed, they prayed to the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord. Eventually, Brahma came to his senses and felt ashamed of delusional state. He gave up this shameful mentality and felt moroseful. The Supreme Lord wanted to give the following grave lesson through this incident. See, it's the mercy of the Supreme Lord's involvement. And now we see here, one could be victimized by the attraction of opposite gender at any time in this world. So one needs to be extremely cautious. That's what giving us extreme consciousness in this material life. This incident demonstrates the sense of strength of sexual impulse and emphasizes the need to be prayerful to the Lord for protection from lust. So this is what we have to learn, right? And now, despite this episode, one should not minimize the position of Lord Brahma. So this is what we have to learn. Not minimize the position of Lord Brahma or disrespect him. Brahma's power of creation in the service of the Supreme Lord did not diminish due to his momentary distraction. He was a soul surrendered to Krishna and engaged in the service. So like that, you know, we see in Brahma's life how he got attracted. And we see in Indra many instances. And one instance is Ahalya. So like that, Prabhupada is explaining how this attraction of opposite gender can, doesn't matter how elevated we are in the material society, there's always that danger. And now here in the last last part of the purport, we see that he's being enlightened, how the person, the conditioned goal soul is going to the Swamis, Yogis and incarnations who are themselves cheating themselves, and he gets cheated and you know, finally falling into this monkey mentality. So this word, this chapter and this verse also cautioning us how this is there all over. How can we protect ourselves by following the regulative principles? Because the unscrupulous person, example given here, he was unable to follow. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Thus, he falls down. So we have to pray to the Supreme Lord, like we have read in the Bhagavad Pravaha, that, you know, we have to pray for the protection of the Supreme Lord, that we don't fall. And as long as we can follow these regulative principles, you know, we protect ourselves, we shield ourselves. These acts, as the Prabhupada says, when we eat prasadam, that is nothing but this vaccine to the body. It protects us from external aspects. So this is what we see in this verse. And thank you very much. If are there any questions, comments, misspoken anything, please correct me. And it was very grateful that I got this opportunity. I could review what I was reviewing for last month or so, this chapter, and conclusively think what is going on. At least have a glimpse of the merchant entering the forest and the conditioned soul entering the material life and how they go through, you know, so many difficulties. So that's what we see in this chapter. Thank you all. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindhi ki jai srimad bhagavatam ki jai srila prabhupada ki jai hari krishna mataji back to you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanur Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for explaining so clearly. This sloka is so, I felt it's a very complicated sloka to explain, but you explained it so clearly and so neatly. I really appreciate your effort, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And devotees, if anyone has any questions for Prabhuji, please go ahead. You can unmute yourself.
Thank you very much for explaining it properly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mata. Thank you, Mata.
Hare Krishna, are there any questions or comments or realizations for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much for such a wonderful session, Prabhuji. You went through both the 13th and 14th chapter, and we can see how much of effort you have taken so that we all can go back and revise both the chapters. So thank you very much for that. I do have one small question, and is it okay, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, so my question is like, we're talking about how people from different categories are there and how we need to make sure that when we go to the swans, like what you're saying, when we go to them, we should try and be careful not to fall down from there, right? Because that's how they are going from one guru to another. And then because their standards are too high, they are not able to follow those because we are kind of in the mode of ignorance. So how is it that we can be steady in our relationship with our guru and, be always conscious and stable in that particular mode and not fall down from there?
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. So here, so depending on our inclinations, sometimes, we can do few things depending on our inclination because it's very difficult. We are so much conditioned. It's radically very, very different, difficult that we have to accept. So our that layers like Prabhu, like Krishna says in third chapter, right, of Bhagavad Gita, it could be like a smoke, like a mirror covered with dust, like an embryo covered like that. It's very, very, very gross. Right? It's very difficult. So that's why, we can do, at least I'm thinking for myself, Mataji, we can say, we can, depending on inclination, we can, when we read a lot, read a lot, like just for distract ourselves. So much, we'll have so many questions, so much conclusive understanding. So like that, depending on, our inclinations, somebody might have some ability to do deity worship. Somebody might have ability to do kirtans, right? Or listen to these bhajans, right? Like that, see, depending on our inclination, we can try to push ourselves to those, feed those things more and more, right? When we read more philosophy also, when we read Srila Prabhupada books, it's always beating, this is discussed, like this topic is discussed again and again and again, so many fall down, so many great rajas have fall down, and we see Vishwamitra Muni, right, he's a king, but so like that, many, many things happen, and one thing is, being prayerful, try to being humble, and prayerful, and that way we can protect ourselves. Because being puffed up, oh, I've done this, that, and all, right? Yes, we have done it for the service of the Lord, and then we can be still humble because our Lord is very, very, very great. That's what we see, the two aspects, the greatness and the sweetness of the Lord. Right? He is much greater than us. Nothing, we are insignificant. So like that, we can always try to be humble and try to increase our proclivity with whatever one aspect we have. So that way we can slowly fill the water with that inclination and the other can be reduced, Mataji. That's what I can think of, Mataji.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Because it's many, many lifetimes of conditioning that we have already. So that's why. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Wonderful answer. Very beautiful class.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dhanwad.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanut Pranams. Very, very nice summary, Prabhuji. You took so many references from so many places and Subodhini and the slides. It was very useful and we got, you covered everything like a summary in one go. We can revise and take points from that. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji, for your appreciation. Hare Krishna. Thank you. We can end here, Mataji.
Okay, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. If anyone, no one has any further questions, we can end the call here. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you, and we look forward to your association again in the future. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Pancha Kalpa Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hey, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. Actually, you explained us how to make a notes. You know, your class was so nice. The way you study Bhagavatam, please bless us that we also study in that way, Prabhuji. Such a beautiful, beautiful class. Hare Krishna. Very beautiful notes, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for the nice presentation, and you showed all the pictures and explained through that. It's really wonderful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very easy to understand. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you all for joining. We will end the meeting here.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.